Blog Talk Radio.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing
stand in your way.
I want you to listen, listen
to every word I say, every word I say.
Ain't no stopping us now.
And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together, gonna polish up our act. Well, and if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing
stand in your way.
I want y'all to listen, listen.
Every word I say, every word I say. No, no, no.
We're on the
move. We're moving, moving.
With you tonight, with the divine Bible class tonight,
but I want to talk a little bit about what happened in Washington, D.C. last year. And I want to talk about the taking over of America. And I want to talk about, and nobody never said it, that was a flat coup that was orchestrated by the Republican Party along with them, along with Donald Trump. I want to talk about that. But I want to deal with tonight about some of the stuff that's going on that you might not know. And I want to share with you. And I want to tell you tonight, those that have come to us tonight, I'm going to talk about 1798, 1796, and 1850, 2020, and 2021, and 1829. That's when our ancestors came over. And that's when the making, making of America. How did they make America? What happened? Why we blacks got caught up in the trick with making America? First, I want to tell you, this is Bible class night, but I'm going to give you a little history because last year they went to storm the White House. And it's, oh, that's so bad. It ain't bad when you're criminal. It ain't bad when you come from a criminal element. And when they came over from England, they was, all them people came over from England. Guess where they were at? They was in prison, in jail. So the older England sent them away because it was a fight. Two white boys fighting about each other. So the older and the one having most strength, put all of them out of England and let them come to America. You know, they said they discovered America. How can you discover, I come to your kitchen, I discover a kitchen, you're already in the kitchen. That's what Columbus did. So he discovered, you know, and then they thought that. Now, I want to tell you tonight, I'm going to share some things with you tonight, making of America. Not making America great. The making of America was done by the black man and black woman. We lost more in America than the Europeans, and they're American. We lost more, the right to vote, second-class citizen, you less than an animal. All of that we had, our ancestors had to endure, and they endured it and made it happen. But I want to tell you tonight, it's 2022. We're going to talk about some things. I'm saying 1796, 1850, going to 2020 and 21. We had the virus. This time last year, people was trying to get shots, trying to get a test. Now here it is, and we're right back at the same boat, saying we need this, we need that. I want to say to you tonight, this is when you call on Monday night, this is Dr. King Movement Tuesday night, crossover with the answer, we did cross over. This is the first Wednesday in this month, in this year. So I want you to think out the box. One lady said she put her water up. She didn't know that the cat turned over, but she said all the water was gone. What happened, Bishop? I said, I wasn't there. But I told you what to do and what to call on. And then another lady said, half her water was gone. She locked her door to make sure didn't nobody come up in there. I want to say that to you tonight. I'm going to give you some scripture to read tonight. But I'm praying for you. This is Bible class night. And I think about the prodigal son that said, give me my stuff and go. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire furnace, and God had to come in, put the air conditioning in. Daniel in the lion's den. Lazarus coming back from the dead. Oh, we got rich history. We built Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana. We made Louisiana king of sugar cane. We made Virginia famous with tobacco. We made Mississippi famous with cotton and corn, Illinois with corn. So we've been there. We know that. But what we're going to do to bring it out to the open? And we have to understand what we have to do to bring out an open. I only share with you tonight these scriptures and these a year, the year 1796, the year 1850, the year 1829, 2020, 2021, and I wait to 20 at the end. Okay. So what I want to say tonight, stop the human savior, baby. In our Bible class tonight, in this Bible class tonight, but I'm going to give you a little black history tonight. I think you need some. And we need it before Black History Month. Every day should be black history. Every day should be a learning process. If you need to write me, post office box 28907, Chicago, Illinois. If you want to do something, go to my PayPal. You go to thecabrahamyolasite.com and go down, and you can plant your donation or plant your seed for 2022. Let me say that. Plant your seed for 2022. Thank you, Bright Star, for your seed, and Bright Star sent her seed in. Thank you, Sister Tanya, California. Thank you for your seed. Mary and Mary Cake Company, thank you for your seed and your cake. Now, if you got a need, you plant a seed, and it's Bible, that if you got a need, you plant a seed, and it's harvest time, you plant your seed now. When the harvest time comes, you're going to get your bounty. You're going to get what you want. The widow woman had two whole cakes. She told her prophet, I'm going to eat this and that. He said, give it to me. And she obeyed the prophet and gave it to him. And when she got ready to get some more meal, it came from the bottom. When she went to the oil came up from the bottom. Miracles always happen with God. And when you walk with God and talk with God, he's going to show you the right thing. I'm praying for many of you tonight. I think it's below zero here in Chicago, but we're still going on anyway. And I want to share this with you tonight. What happened in the White House? It was a hostile takeover, treason all the way. When Trump told them people, gone out there and didn't say nothing. That's treason. And Trump is at the middle of it. And all and half the Republicans at the middle of it. Because this country, the making of this country was black folks. Your mama, your great grandma, major. And it go to show you it's true to nature. These people come out of prison over in England. They was kicked out of England, brought over here. They're doing the same thing over here. They killed the Indians. They killed black. All that was going on. Put down making of America. Who made America great? Who labored in America? Our ancestors. Tonight, this is the first Wednesday in this year. And I want you to be blessed tonight. And I want you, Kathleen. Kathleen, I see you up there. I want you to plant a seed. I'm going to tell you how much I want you to plant. And I want you to plant a seed for $100. That's what I want you to plant. Nothing else. And once you plant it, you write what you want. I know what you want. And it's going to come about. See, sometimes you don't get nothing because you don't do nothing. You got your fist closed. Your fist finna open up. I want to tell you, Mary Hawkins, this year will be a year for a house for you, the year that your finance will come up. And anytime God gets ready to bless you, the devil get busy. It was a shame Trump told them people, go on up to the White House, I'm going to meet y'all there. And them people came up there because they was dense. They was there because they thought Trump lied and said they stole the election. So they bought guns and bombs and kicked the door in. Ain't nobody went to jail yet. Still ain't nobody here. If there had been black folks, all of them been in jail or dead. I'm just letting you know. It's a law for white folks. It's a law for black folks. The justice for white folks, no justice for black folks. Job for white folks, ain't no job for black folks. Look who in your neighborhood. Look who running your neighborhood. Why don't you have a beauty shop in your neighborhood? Why don't you have a grocery store in your neighborhood? Why don't you have a liquor package goods store in your neighborhood? Somebody outside of your neighborhood come in and took over your neighborhood. You know, Bobby Rush just, he resigned. He said he got a high calling. He should have had that high calling when he was in the White House doing something for black folks. But what I'm saying to you tonight, I want to talk about making of America, and these people try to destroy America down in Trump with the head of it because they had Trump sign, Trump picture, and they didn't kill Pence. What this, somebody said, bitch, what's going on? Treason. What's going on? The same way their daddies and their mamas were kicked out of England, they come over here with that same hate, killing, raping, murder mentality, gun shooting. That's where they come. And they adopted other races to be involved with them. They adopted other companies, other people to be racist right along with them. That's some of the stuff I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about get your Bible. I'm going to tell you what to read. Get your Bible. I want you to read Romans 1 and 26, Mary. Jared, Romans 1 and 26. And God, change God, turn them over to a reprobate mind. And he said, God turned them over to a reprobate mind, doing that thing which is unseemly. You ought to know what's seemly, what's not seemly. You know, I was talking to a young man today, and he was telling me, Bishop, me and my wife been together for about 10 years, and I didn't have no idea she was gay because we never discussed that. But when we got married, there was no sex involved. We were just good friends. We were just going to get married. But they stand in the same house, I mean, the same room. Okay? I know a man had two wives. One in the suburbs and one in the, and he married, wasn't married to any one of them. But he's keeping house with both of them. I don't need that alone. I want to talk about the night, what happened in Washington, D.C. last year. This what happened in Washington last year. Murder, rape, killing, racism, white supremacy, all that happened. And making up America, when you look at America, pretty landscape. Go to Washington, see all the monuments. Black man architect that. But this happened down in Florida, not just in California. The government come in, the city come in and took these black folks' land. Been by 18. It was their land, overlooking the lake, overlooking the ocean. You know they come and took the land and private domain and took the land. But now in 2022, the family, the people that owned it, is dead. But the family getting back that prime real estate. But it'd be all I'm gonna tell that they got that. Okay, and they're gonna tear it down. Okay. So I'm telling you tonight, get ready for God to bless you, Ashe. This is the first Wednesday of 2022. Making of America. And then we're just saying make America great. America already great. Now, all those people that Trump lied to, tricked, and they worked about a month to get all them people there, to the White House up. But because they were white, they got a pass. White is right. They got a pass. If there had been black, there's some trones and everything over there. And they know. Because the chief of Louis Brown, black man down in Texas, is on the ground and blow them up. First time a person been blowed up on American soil and that he was black. He was sick. Their post-mortem stamp had been in army. There's another way they could deal with him without killing. He'd kill five police because he was in the Marine. He was a combat sergeant. So he know what to do. You can't, you know, but the man probably was sick. You know, but that's what happened. And I want to tell you tonight, those that are listening tonight, Pauline, that in 1796 and 1850 and 1829, we were suited as horses, couldn't vote, come a long way. So I want to tell you tonight, be sincere for 2022. Praying for you, Renee. Thank you. See your hand up. I want you to know you should be right now trying to take care of the business. I have somebody come and snip them dead limbs off that tree. I might call in time. But I want you to get ready for God to bless you tonight. And I want to tell you this, some of the stuff happened. What happened in Washington was a total takeover. And it reminded me of the spirit of the people come to take over, take black land and black stuff and all that kind of stuff. Richard Allen was kicked out the church because he was kneeling in a church, so he started his own church. Bishop Mason started his church on Zulu Street, and Miracle Church of God in Christ. We're praying for the Winbush family. Winbush going on to be with the ancestors now. Farewell, Bishop, you know, all the bishops that are gone. Bishop Carr, I could name some, and all the way God said, God. I'm praying for you in Jamaica and Africa. I'm praying for you in Chicago, Detroit, Mississippi. I want you to get ready because on Monday we're going to deal with the Dr. King movement. And I want all of you to become a part, not part of the movement. Sister Lisa is doing her tax now. She needs to get involved with her to do a tax. Sister Delta is handling a finance and getting your business together for you to retire. You have certain paperwork. You got to make sure you get in every dollar, every dime from the company. You have somebody go in there and see how much your company worth, what you need to get for the company. And that's what I'm saying. I want to say this, making of America. I ain't talking about making America great.
Outer areas that wasn't in the original plan. So now in the shaping of the United States, let's look. The British colony is going to become the United States. You had a series of colonies, 13 different colonies with 13 different flags, all approving of slavery. Now, in the North South, where the worst of the scum of England was dumped out of prisons, out of work hall houses, late into the evening and the night too. Slavery was forbidden for a while. These were debtors and prisoners and the like. What you cannot understand is that Europe dumped its human garbage can into the so-called New World. The worst of that garbage can came to the United States. We inherited the worst of Europe. Not that there were flowers other places. Now, in the New England state, some of the English came to escape persecution. Some of them were people of means, mostly in the southern state people trying to better their condition, large number of them were indentured. All right, I'm getting to the point, and the point is, where did we fit into all of this? What had happened to the Africans in the United States between 1619 and 1776? Let's focus on 1776, because during that period, on the eve of the revolution, there had been contact between the Caribbean free man and the black free man of New England. And if you look at the biography, Rathmann, Jamaica, Prince Hall, Barbados, Robert Campbell, Jamaica again, Peter Austin, Antigua. If you look at the biography of all of these Caribbean people, not one called themselves a West Indian. Everyone thought of himself as an African person away from Africa, and saw the plight of one African person identical with that other African people. All right, now the revolution comes. The alleged Fulo, I'm using the word advisedly, the alleged first man to give his life in the American Revolution was Christopher Adams. All right. I would not take a black Negro out of history unless I got 10 to replace him. I'm going to put him in proper perspective. Christopher Adams, hanging with his Irish cut buddies, hanging out, everybody boasting about what they're going to do to the British. He just stumbled out of the bar ahead of the rest of them. He caught a bullet and got into his world's great accidental hero. All right. Because white people say so many bad things about us, it's not true. When they say something good, it's not true. So we might as well let it ride. Okay. Christopher Adams, of course, was one of the early casualties to the preface to the American Revolution. But as a matter of historical fact, the revolution hadn't started when he was killed. So to say that he's the first to die in the American Revolution is stretching a point. He did die, or let's give him all honor to him. But he didn't die in the American Revolution because there was no revolution at the time. Okay. There were other black heroes in the American Revolution. And I wouldn't take him out unless I was going to put him in. There were genuine heroes in the American Revolution. So at first, Washington didn't accept black Americans in the American Revolution. But there were several families, the Brazil New family, still alive, some in Chicago and some around Boston. I've actually talked to someone on the telephone and greeted those in Chicago. Because they were light complexion, one could tell where they belong. So they fought right straight through the American Revolution. But now, the second brutal winter, Washington turned to a black friend, James Botan. James Botan was a tent maker and might be the first black middle class person of considerable wealth. And he told Botan of the difficulty of the last winter, and he looked at some of the heavy wax matter tent cloth are using is much better than the cloth and our riches. Now, Jim, suppose you make some riches out of that cloth. And the riches made by James Protag have saved Washington's army during the second of the American Revolution. Peter Salem saved his life at one point near the end of the Revolution. There was an attempt to poison Washington and Francis Chapman. Samuel Francis owned the tavern. Tavern still exists. Down around Wall Street area. A Caribbean freeman noted the attempt to poison Washington, because that's where Washington went to eat. And she told Washington's intelligence to not say Washington's life. Okay, Washington took a liking to Francis. Francis, after Washington became president, to Washington. And Francis, being a good cook and a restaurant man, began to invite people to the White House to have special food on Washington's birthday. This is the origin of Washington's birthday. But this Caribbean restaurant man. Now, because he was light complexion, when he was white, his daughter Phoebe seems to have taken more from her mother's side. And it was much questioned that she belonged to us. But she saved Washington's life with some major type to play up to her romantic to cover up the secret of the attempt to poison Washington. She was by that angle. All right. Now, the second year of the war, Washington began to accept blacks in the army. They began to distinguish themselves in a number of the battles in the American Revolution. A woman dies as a man and fought in the American Revolution, a black woman, 9 months. And when they discovered her, discharged her with a pension, all this is recorded, they gave her a certificate of virtue. I'm saying that that was the worst thing they could have done for her, because a bunch of what he sees was. And she didn't need to flip it. Someone had thought about that one way or the other. She had to have quarters with men, and same bathing facilities with men for that 9 months. They said that she behaved like a lady and kept herself in a manner getting the best of me. I don't know what they had to say that. They had to let them alone. Nobody was thought about it. But see that as it's made. See that as it's made. This was an outstanding black woman in the American Revolution. Also of mixed parents. Now, we have to do something which we haven't done. We haven't made an assessment of Africans of mixed parents who were great patriots for our cause and who went on the other side with their life complexion and brought back secrets that damn near saved us and made a change. We have been dealing with the cop-out so much. We haven't even dealt with those who endangered their very lives in the hands on the black side of the family. There were a number of other in the American Revolution. And my main point is that we fought in this war, and having fought in the war, we got nothing out of that either. Washington proposed to some of these families that they send someone to fight in the war, did not want to send one of their sons. They sent a slave instead. And they sent the slave with the promise that after the war, the slave would be free. Now, while we know so much about this, there is an almost classical book titled it, a little bit, called The Negro and Colonial New England by Lorenzo Turner. Now, yeah, it's the best documentation on the subject, the most scholarly documentation on the American Revolution. But here you have changed history of black folk in the American Revolution. It is from one of these case histories that I get the story of Manny's Sam. This black New Englander fought in the American Revolution. His master, he was a slave. His master was probably named Manny. And Sam is the only name they gave him. So he fought in the American Revolution. No doubt, he endeared himself to his white comrades who taught him how to read and write while he was in the army. When he came out and they tried to re-enslave him, he took it to court. And all of the veterans that fought with him came from Massachusetts, Connecticut, and all the states around to be moral support during the trial. All he needed was moral support. But with his rough-hewn language, they had taught him, now he could read and write. He petitioned the Massachusetts court for his citizenship and his right to be a free man. And his petition is a great piece of American literature. They could be printed separate and distinct from the trial and read as a piece of literature. Along the same line was the work of Amos Fortune, whose life started in the American Revolution, but who continued and was a vestryman in the white church after the American Revolution. All right, we have been the people who made the first overtures to get along with other people. Now let's see what went wrong and how it went wrong. The making of the Constitution. It is now the 200th anniversary of the Constitution. Now, who made the Constitution? Who were they talking about? What were their intentions in the making of the Constitution? Now, because we dream so much, we do not understand that the American dream was never dreamed for us. The American promise was never made to us. And if you face this reality, you might understand what you have to do. Now, they're making a constitution. 52 days of deliberation in Philadelphia. They produced a 2 or 3 page document. Jefferson wants to bring up the problem of slavery. Benjamin Franklin tells him, don't open this can of peas. Jefferson a double-dealing liar. She writes so eloquently about liberty in the Constitution. She's had liaison with several black women and had several children by black women. Sally Hamer being the most consistent one. I think he had seven children by her. And if you go to Monticello, the Jefferson home, I talk about this so much, they close off that stairway. There's a stairway leading from his bedroom to her bedroom. And yet, Jefferson talked so much about liberty and justice and democracy, he never freed Sally Hamer, the slave woman who bore him seven children. See, democracy for us was tainted from the beginning. Now, in the making of the Constitution, the Southern makers of the Constitution had a large non-voting constituency. Now, the Southerners were elected based on that constituency. They would not give the Southerner full credit for the slave, so they declared the slave to be of a man. There is nothing in American literature, there is nothing in the amendments to the American Constitution that ever said you are a whole human being. Every black man, including me, who ever paid taxes, was paying taxes on the false pretenses. We should never have paid any taxes, because it was taxation without representation, and still is. Now, in the whole concept of a man, many Southerners came to office based on the fact they had so many slaves in that constituency, those non-voting. So we see now the nation is shaping itself. Now, in essence, who was the nation shaped for? And remember this, I'll repeat it if you don't understand. This nation was made for originally free white Protestant males, middle class and up, those who agreed with the prevailing political status quo and who owned property. And when they say in this country, liberty and justice for all, that is the all they are talking about. And they are not talking about women. They're not talking about Catholics. They are not talking about Jews. Now, you can play behind and be a servant to the power of the white male Protestant, but he will always be the dominant power in the country until he acknowledged and put in law and action that this country was meant for someone else other than himself. When someone asked recently whether the Constitution still prevails, Robert Harris, the professor at Cornell, asked, I hope not. I hope it don't still prevail. I hope there's been some changes. All these amendments, they still mean what they said originally. The president means what they said originally. This debate over this judge is what they said originally. But there are non-partisan whites or pseudo-whites who many times get a leverage by supporting the Gentile establishment and by rendering a service managing funds. And they endear themselves to the Gentile establishment to the extent they keep us in line. Now you see what it started. Now you can see what other ethnic groups come in and manage your community, manage your stores. Why the government even give them money to assist them in doing it. Why you are not the resident entrepreneurs in your own community. Now, I believe you can take back all of this community, any community, once you organize to do so, and once you understand the global importance of African people in the world, you could actually do it. But you're so mesmerized by other people, you assume there's something magic about running a store, marketing food, and turning wheels, and clocks, and mechanics. And you forget that you did it first before they had shoes or lived in houses that had windows. What people make you forget, especially what you was and your historical memory, generally controls you right now. Okay, the revolution is over. Where are we? In the South, still slaves. There are some free blacks in the South, terribly restricted. No vote, no public accommodation. As a free blacks in New England, really, where the voice of the free blacks got heard, but among those heard the most, Prince Hall and his African Lodge, the first black Masonic order. Now blacks are beginning to organize. They're beginning to express themselves in poetry. They're beginning to express themselves in the slave narrative. They're beginning to question whether they go to the side door or the balcony of churches. Soon, Richard Allen, James Barrett would challenge the white church, and they would find the AME. Now the independent black church is on the way. You've got independent thinkers now. And we're approaching the 1800s. As we approach the 1800s, we have the semblance of a church organization, the semblance of literary organization, the semblance of a protest movement. Now, as we came into the 1800s, let's look at that first half of the 19th century. Because this, in my opinion, was the most dynamic period in the history of Black America. It was the most dynamic period because these blacks were clear about what they wanted to do and what they had to do than you are right now. They didn't have a whole lot of hang-up illusions that you've got right now. They weren't thinking about integration. They were thinking about surviving as a people. In the late 90s, 1790s, a sea captain began to take blacks back to Africa using his own ship. Now, can you imagine now a sea captain with three ships doing trade on the sea of the world in the 1790s, and today we don't even own a decent rowboat? A master sailor with other sailors at his disposal. Now, as we came into the 1800s, more slaves escaping from the South, slave narratives, a special kind of American literature, finally the Douglas School, Frederick Douglass would begin publication, but 1800 itself, the first massive slave revolt, Cape of Pasta in the Carolinas. Now you're beginning to see organization. Along with this kind of organization will be a different organization in the North. People are coming together. Martin Delaney, Frederick Douglass, the great minister Henry Highland Garnett. Poets are coming together, especially the great woman poet, Elaine Wilkins Harper, Phyllis Whitley, period. And I don't dwell on that because I'm not a great Phyllis Whitley fan. I thought she misread history itself, but be that as it may. The importance of Phyllis Whitley is that she wrote. Women wasn't writing much poetry during that period, good or bad. The fact that she wrote fair poetry. They have some atrocious lines in some of them. Turn me off in that. I'm glad God took me from my pagan land, taught my pagan heart to understand. She didn't come from no pagan land. Africa was no pagan land. In her tribute to George Washington and some lords. Well, the fact that I'm not a Phyllis Whitley fan is established, so I can go on. But during this period, a slave on Long Island produced the first cynical poem. And the poem went, my old master promised me when he died, he let me, would set me free. Lived so long, his head got bald, got out of notion of dying at all. So this beginning of cynicalism in black poetry. I didn't believe it. I don't believe it. All right, now, the black founding fathers as against the white founding fathers that Lerone Bennett writes about so beautifully in his work, Before the Mayflower. And the thing about Lerone Bennett as against John Hope Franklin packs in a lot of historical information. But John's writing is so dull, I didn't say it's incorrect. It turns you off. Lerone Bennett is not as scholarly as John Hope Franklin. But Lerone Bennett makes the language say. And he don't turn you off a bit. You read all of it. Pick up his book. You read the whole thing. John Hope, you could go to sleep with, you know, all these facts to passed on, you know, without interesting explanation. But I think in Lerone Bennett's work, Before the Mayflower, and another work called The Shaping of Black America, the first two chapters, White Servitude, in the second chapter, First Generation, dealing with the first blacks to be brought to the United States. All right, now, let's look at the early period of Douglass Let's look at the black giant, the people that Jerome Bennett called the black founding father. Better men, stronger men, true to democratic promise than the white founding father. Douglas Allen founded Independent Black Church along with James Barrett, the founders of our large organization, Prince Hall, the role of then of the Caribbean free men who came to the United States, the nationalist writing of Martin Delaney, sometimes referred to as the father of black nationalism, who said that to Douglas, "I'm glad God made me a black man." Douglas was taught white, "I'm just glad God made me a man." All right. Now we're into the period where we're finding our voice. We're into the period when Douglas would write his famous narrative. Other slave narratives would be written. Now there's another famous slave revolt, this time in Virginia. Denmark Beebe, a black free man who had known language. An unfortunate circumstance would literally hold up the revolt. When you study a slave revolt in this country, this was the best planned slave revolt. Everything was against it. The horses that were supposed to be in one place, stampeded, wasn't in the place, take the men to another place. Rain and the bridge got washed out. You couldn't contact the people on the other side. Circumstances tend to work again. Because people themselves couldn't connect. Yet when they caught him and tried to pull the confession out of him, he told them nothing.
trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together, gonna polish up our ass well. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Move.